I've been trying to come up with something, and I didn't know what to come up with as far as trying to save a little money, but, and I believe we can save a little on the stamps.
Yeah, so he is, yeah.
But I believe that we could, nothing else, and we could get some of these made for what we could save in his stamps, I think it 34, 36, 38, 39 cents, something like that, less than 40 cents, I think, a piece. But I think within so many months or something like that, we can save a little money as far as on the stamp part. But I think we need to fix something to where we can just mail out to people. And I'm going to give Sister Betty some. I'm going to give her probably a bunch of them if she knows of anybody. Or if you happen to know of somebody, and if you know about where they live at, or if you know the first name and last name, and if you can give me a direction about where they may live at, then I can go, and me and Bro Bill, we can try to find out exactly, you know, the address and everything, and I'll give it to Sister Betty and let her mail out some cards. Now, this is for the people that hasn't come and it's just, we know that where people is not in church. Plus, too, we can give them out as we go out and give. If we go out to the grocery store or something like that, and if you got any, you can just, you know, give them one. But we're going to see if we can find just the cards. I think we can. Can you buy just the blank cards?
Yeah, Avery makes postcards, and all you got to do is punch them out of them. Okay. This is just cutout paper. It's
right.
The heavy stock.
Right, okay.
But it was made on the Avery design.
Right, okay.
Well, not design, but the where it would fit on there.
Yeah.
Cards.
But, you know, then that way we can let them know, you know, when we're having something or whatever. But I think we just need to have something where we can start just sending out. I got somebody else I want to bring up tonight. We need to remember them in prayer. And as Brother Van White, I talked to him. He has been a while, maybe a couple, two or three weeks ago. He said he hadn't been long, took his last chemo and everything. So he said he was hoping to get back out on the mission field where he can go around and visit the churches and everything. So y'all need to be much in prayer for him. And he was one of them that came. He came on a Sunday morning, I believe it was. And I honestly believe he's got a heart for the church and for the people. He wants to do what he can to try to help the churches that are struggling. And he's already told me that he says, just as soon as I get the feeling about it, I'm gonna call you, and I'm gonna come down now. And we're going to go out and do some visiting. I said, well, that's fine. I says, you know, just let me know, because sometimes I've had problems where I can't go. But I hope and pray. And I said, I'll be praying for you. You pray for me that as far as my legs, they'll be strong at the time so we can go out and visit some people. But he has a heart for the local church, and for the pastor, and for the people that's in the church. He wants to see churches not just drifting away, because he sees it every week when he was going, when he was out on the road from going from town to town, state to state, that he would see where there used to be at one time a good, fundamental, independent Baptist church that believed the truth, that believed in the Word of God, and believed in the King James Bible and everything, but now they got for sale sign out in the yard or closed or whatever. And it's just not happening here in the state of Virginia, but it's happening in the state of North Carolina, South Carolina, and the state of Georgia. And that's the Bible Belt. This right here is the start of the Bible Belt. I believe it's starting from in this area from, say, Roanoke on down is the Bible Belt. But he says he sees so many of them are just going by the wayside, and he said the reason for it is, he said, because what he sees that goes on in the churches is that they're not preaching anything no more. And he says, and it's easy when you get down to when you don't have a four or five or maybe six, seven people or something like that, to get to the point to where you will preach, and you can preach from a King James, but the only thing that you are preaching is what is a lullaby message or preach about love, but they don't have anything at all about God's wrath in it. Now, today I believe that God's wrath is upon the United States of America. I've heard preachers talk about, and I've seen it, we can still have, says the United States can still have a revival here in the States. We can come together as churches, and we can have a revival. Well, I'm not going to disagree with them because, you know, if that's what the individual churches, the individual pastors, if that's what they want, then they're going to have to get away from the things that they're doing and get back to what the Bible says. And what the Bible says is over there in 2 Chronicles. And it speaks about what we have to do to get back to having a heartfelt, I believe, a heartfelt revival in ourselves. But it's where it says over here in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, and I'm going to start up at verse 12, and it says, "And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night, and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer, and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven, that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people." In verse 14 of chapter 7, it says, If my people, and he's talking about the Christians, he's talking about the saints of God. Because when you become a Christian, once you're saved, you become a saint of God. if my people, and he's saying, it says right, he said, if all my people, if all my saints, which are called by my name, and that's the reason he has called us today a saint of God, is because we have called him by his name. We've called him by his name, just like Paul did when Paul got saved. And me and Brother Bill was discussing this a little earlier, before church even started. There's not but one way to heaven, and everybody has to come that way. Just because you don't like the way that maybe I came, or if they don't like that way, that they can take and choose a different route. There's no other route to take. They have to come through Jesus Christ. And they have to accept him as what he has done there on Calvary. That's the only way. And I honestly believe this with all my heart and all my soul. With what lives within me and what lives within you, each one of you, and each one of the other people that come that's not here tonight, Sister Nancy and Sister Taylor and Sister Betty, every one of us here, we come that way. We came the same way through the Lord Jesus Christ, and we believed in what he done there at Calvary. We believed in the finished work there. But that just did not save us. But we had to come and trust him as who? As the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And we should ask, and we need to ask him to apply his blood on our life. We must have the blood on our life before we can ever please him. There are people out here today, they don't love the house of God. And if they don't love the house of God, how can they say that they love God if they don't love the house of God? If they don't love to come to church, if they don't love to come and pray, and pray for the lost, and pray for the ones that are, I hear, doing mischief and everything. How do we expect people to ever come into the house of the Lord? Why? Well, one thing about it, as far as I'm speaking of myself, and I hope and pray that you are the same way, that you're not the one that goes out here, and when you're out here in public and you start talking to people and everything, that you will not go through and talk to them for 30 minutes without bringing up the church, without bringing up inviting someone to church. Now, when I got saved, I fell in love with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I fell in love with him. How did I fall in love with him? Because he became personal to me. I knew him personally. I've had people ask me, say, well, how do you know that you're going to heaven? Well, I know I'm going to heaven because I'm saved. Well, how do you know you're saved? I said, well, I trusted Jesus Christ. They said, well, how do you know it? How do you know that you're going to heaven? How do you know that you're saved? I said, sir, tell you how I know it. It's because I was at the place. I was at the place. One moment I was dying and going to hell, and I was going to split hell wide open. Then the people, they just kept explaining to me what God was all about and what the Lord Jesus was all about. And they told me, says, the Lord Jesus Christ, he loves you. That's the reason he went to Calvary. He went to Calvary just for you. And we have to look at that way. And the people have to look at that way. That he went to Calvary just for them, which he did. But see, after they got saved and everything, then what happened? Then he went to Calvary for who? For just them, the other lost. If my people, which are called by my name, oh Lord, which are called by my name, the saints of God, the children of God, the blessed, the love, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. Now that word humble means that we must forget about everything else around us. We should not think about anything at all, and we should humble ourselves unto the Lord, to where the Lord can use us. And not you just use us, but can use our and what we are doing to touch someone else. You know, I've heard some people, and like I said, the only thing you have to go on is what somebody tells you. That's all you have to go on. That's all I have to go on. It's between them and God and what they're doing. Now, I know here, and I think my wife has said something to me a time or two. Says, when you're up there reading scripture and everything, says you kind of misquoted some words, or you misread them, or whatever. Well, yeah, I did. But I'm human. I'm human. As long as I live in this body, what goes on within this body, as far as pain, as far as sickness, as far as health and everything goes, it's going to come up and it's going to make mistakes. It's going to make mistakes. Why? Because this outer body is not saved. The inner man is the one that's saved. Because see, if the outer man was saved, then we wouldn't have to lay down the robe of flesh when we go home. We wouldn't have to lay it down. But see, this old flesh of mine is not going to enter into heaven. Because he's given me the words that says, for you to enter into heaven, you need a glorified body. Now, I got to ask y'all, looking upon me, you see a glorified body? Well, I tell you what, I know it's not glorified. I know it's nothing but sin. Why? Because the devil all the time attacks the outward man. And he's trying his very best to let the outward man to kind of melt the inward man's affairs. And if he enters into the inner man's affairs, then next thing you know, he's going to come up and he gonna come up short. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. Humble themselves. It does not mean that we need to come up here. If we can come and if we can bow on our knees and pray and ask God to help us and to help the people around us and everything, that's good. But if we cannot come to, if we can come to the up to the front, and if we cannot stand long enough, it doesn't make no difference. We can sit down on a front pew, or you can come and stand. You don't have to bow your head. You don't have to get down on your knees or nothing. The only thing that he is asking us to do is to humble what? Our heart. Let the humility that we have that will can open up and can open up our hearts to the point that he has. We have nobody else in focus at all. And shall humble themselves and pray. Humble themselves and pray. Pray unto God to seek God's face. See, that's what Solomon wanted to do. He was praying and he was praying unto God, and yet while he was praying, he never forgot. He never forgot about all about God. He didn't forget about Jehovah. He didn't forget about the one that was helping him. Why? Lived within his heart. What does God live in today in our life? He don't live in our mind. He lives within our heart. But yet we're supposed to study the Word of God to where within our own mind that we think nothing else about, anything else, but the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what needs to be on our mind, what needs to be on our conscience, that's what needs to be on our heart each and every day. First thing in the morning, all day long, and then at night. Hey, I've got up at 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, before I started having a problem that I have with my legs now. Because right now, I mean, sometimes I don't even hardly sleep at all. But at one time, when I was going and I was working a public job and everything, I would go to bed and I would pray. And then by 2 o'clock, 2:33, something like that, I'd get up and go to my study. She would say, "Where are you going?" She said it 2 or 3 times, and then after the 3rd or 4th time she said it, then when I, from that time on, when I'd done it, she knew where I was going. I said, "Well, just all of a sudden the Lord just woke me up and gave me another thought." I went down and I was studying, just wrote it down. Did you use it? No, I didn't use it for the message that I was going to have to preach that night or the next Sunday. But the Lord spoke to me about it, so I need to write it down. I don't understand why people today cannot grasp what God is all about. They just don't understand what God is all about. God is about for us to be happy. He wants me to be happy 365 days a year. This year, I think, is a leap year. It's 366 days. But he wants me to be happy 24 hours of every day. He wants me to be happy within the next few seconds. Why? Because that's what he is. That's who he is. But even within in that, he speaks also about the wrath of God. And he calls us wicked. When we don't do something the way that he wants us to do it, he said, you're wicked. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Seek whose face? The Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father. Seek their face. Seek them. We're not supposed to go and ask somebody else, well, what does this right here mean in the Bible? Well, have you really read the chapter of the around the scripture there? Have you read it and what it's talking about in the context that it was brought up in? If it was brought up in the context of a battle, of a war, or was it a contact of sin and salvation? I says, you got to understand from where it's coming from and who it's writing to. And then we can get to relating to our lives today. See, this right here is nothing. Whew, thank you. This right here is a... Let me see if I can pronounce it right. The autobiography of our life. If you're a Christian, this is our autobiography. If the individual is lost, this is also their autobiography. This is what God has wrote to them, what God has wrote to us. They can't understand what's in this Bible. The lost can't. You know how simple John 3:16 is? They can't even understand that. Why? Because they lost. Because see, they don't know. They say, well, we're talking about that. Well, whosoever? Who's he talking about? Whosoever? Talking about the ones in the past? No. Whosoever is there about them. One thing about it, you can place your name in the
place of that whosoever. And when we do, it becomes real to our lives. Real to our lives.
We need to humble ourselves and seek not our face, not seek someone else's face, but seek His face. Because see, He is the only one that wants the best thing that He has for us. He's got us in His heart. And you know, and I've thought about that many a time. Speaking about heart and speaking about the Lord. Or in the New Testament way, speaking about when we lay our head upon the bosom of the Lord. That is when we are so close to Him that we can feel His heartbeat. And I've had people to ask me, say, well, how can you feel God? How can you feel God's heartbeat? When you say that God's nothing but a spirit, I said, now He is just a spirit as of now, right now, and what we know of it. But after everything is said and done, now I know a whole lot of people that they say, well, you just don't know the Bible, you don't know what you're talking about. Well, I tell you what, it's a whole lot that we don't have. It's a whole lot of the Bible and what God has said and what God has promised His people we don't have. He just let us to have just enough to be interested enough and to ask Him to help us and to save our souls. I'm saved by the grace of God, and I know it. I cannot lose it. But if I could lose it, and if I knew that I lost it right now, I'd get right back down, and I'd do what I had to do all over again, and I'd receive it right back. I wouldn't let it go. But I know that God don't do something halfway. He does it right the first time. And when He does it right the first time, you don't have to go back and redo it. That's just like, you know, I've talked to people and I've said to people and everything. And especially when I was... before I got down to where I can't do a whole lot of that stuff today, I would go out and I would look and I'd talk to people and then they asked me, said, well, how much would it cost me for you to build me a cabin? How much would it cost me for you to build me some kitchen cabinets? Well, I I'd give him the price. And I wouldn't make hardly any money on it. But I went to one lady. Her and her husband both was at home that day. It was on a Saturday morning. Went to a house and she lived over in Druid Hill. Right across from, I believe it was my wife's uncle. Went over and I talked to her and I asked, I said, what she really, you know, what she wanted and everything. And she said that she wanted a bookcase. But she said she wanted a bookcase with a hutch type thing, with the full long shelf on the bookcase, and the door have some louver doors where you can buy them for the, you know, your house and for your bedroom, closets, everything, the full length doors. But and I told her, you know, I said, well, I can do it. I said, she said, are you going to be able to do that, because you're going to have to? Because I don't know if you can buy them doors that like that, that short. I said, well, I don't know of any either. I said, but I'll check around, and I said, I'll see what I come up with and everything. And she said this to me. I said, well, you know, it's going to run between this and that. And she said this to me. She said, I don't want it out of nothing fancy. I just wanted you to fix it out of some cheap wood. I said, is that what you want? She said, yes. I said, well, I can do it. She says, well, why can't you? And this is what I thought. I says, the reason I can do that is because you're going to have somebody come in your house the next week or the next day after I install it. And they're going to come in and you're going to show it to them. Well, I see you got something new in here. Yeah, I got a new cabinet. I said, but when they leave the house, what are they going to think about the cabinet? Got all cheap materials, warped and everything in. And I said, what they going to think about it is, I don't want them to do any work for me. I don't want them to do what I've got to do. And I didn't do it. Because I could not lower my standard of what I was doing to meet somebody else's standard. And that's the same way with the Word of God. I can't lower my standard and my way of teaching or preaching or whatever to assess someone else, because someone else don't have to answer for what I do. I've got to answer to God for what I do. Each one of us has got to answer to God. That's what the problem is today, that I do not see in people's lives. They don't really understand that one day they going to meet Jehovah God face to face. He's going to ask them, what did you do?
He's the only one that I know of that has a computer bank and he don't ever have to worry about a virus or nothing. See, the only thing he has to do is speak. His speaking is there. That's just like today, you can buy the software. You can buy the software, and you can install the software, and if you want to have a letter on it written out for you and everything, all you have to do is install that software. You just speak to it. Just speak to the computer. And it'll pipe it all out for you. But see, that went farther than that. You don't even have to buy the software no more. Because now they've come out with the new Windows, which is Windows 10, and it was free. And it's got the way you can just speak. And it won't type it out. But the difference there, but there is a difference. But there is a difference. And he speaks it out. We're going to know exactly what he says, exactly what he means. We need to let people know how much we love the Lord. You know, they know they need to be in church. They know they need to be in church. There's people like that tonight that didn't come to church tonight. Whether it was coming to this one, or whether they live right across the road or whatever at this church. They knew that they needed to be in church somewhere or not. But they didn't go. Why? Because they had the sin, they had the sense of where the people in these churches don't love them, don't care for them, don't want to be a friend to them. You know, I'd rather have somebody to come up to me and just want to talk to me. And sometimes, you know, when we go out and visit people, sometimes we have to carry on a conversation with them. We have to get the conversation rolling. And when we do, we need to find out before we get there what their interest is. If they like watching football, or if they like watching baseball, or who their favorite team is, or who's their favorite race car driver, or something like that. But see, that way we fall in and talk to them about what they love. Before you end up leaving, you both will get in the conversation and what both of you love. What's the difference? Well, I see where you go to church, Daniel. I see where you're the pastor. Says, I said, yes, sir, I'll join you. I said, I'd love to go to church. I love to have fellowship with people. What things we may know some things about people. We don't need to let them know what we do know. We need to leave that to God. We need to leave that to God and let God straighten the life out. People that are hurting all around. Some people are saved, but they just don't know how to go about having fellowship with people. That's where we can come in. We can come in and teach them and help our neighbor. But we must do our part. We have to do our part. If we don't do our part, nobody else is going to do it for us. Do you know anybody else that you know of that's going to just say, well, I can call it, that'd be my fault. Hey, man, we done made no people that will come in and help us out at a particular time. But are they going to have the same desire on our heart? What we have. Now I do, I thank the Lord for Brother Bill Pearl, Brother Gil Hawkins, and the one that's come and just filled in when I wasn't able to be there. And it won't because I just want to stay out because I didn't. I'd rather been here. But I knew that I could count on them to come and not hurt the church and not hurting you. They said, well, you know, talking about hurting the church, and the church has already been hurt. No, the church ain't been hurt. It ain't been hurt. Because you're the church. You're the church, you're still here. You come, and I thank you for that. And I love you for that. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. Now, Lord, I just pray, God, that you would help us. Father, in this week, Father, in the things that you've asked us, Lord, to do, we pray, Father God, that you may touch our bodies with what we can do. And we can do what you've asked us to do. And Father, I pray, Lord, this Sunday, Father, that some people will come in this Sunday. And Father, we know, Lord Jesus, if they come, and they're willing to step back by faith, and Father, just have a little faith in you, Lord, and they come to church, and Father, and yes, Lord, they may bring someone else with them. And Father, if they are here and if they come, if someone comes and happens to be in the midst of the people that don't know you as a personal Lord and Savior, Father, will it excite each one of the people that come. And Father, for the visitors that come, Lord, it will excite them also.